What's up?
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm recording a podcast. What are you doing?
I'm participating in a podcast.
Dude, what?
It's so meta.
With who?
I don't know. I don't like this person.
Some super handsome dude, no doubt.
He does have chiseled chin
and abs. Filings.
Beautiful golden blonde hair.
My.
Just want to run my fingers through it.
Well, maybe you'd like to run your fingers through this bag of frozen kale I have sitting on my leg.
Why do you have a bag of frozen kale on your leg?
That's how I podcast. It's the only way I can do it.
It's the only way to get your confidence up.
Yep. Just a quick nip of kale out of the bag every once in a while.
Interesting. My history with kale is pretty limited, I've got to say.
It's gross. Yeah.
It's very, it's the yuppie liberal thing.
Yeah.
Hey, they love it.
It's the granola of the new generation.
Yep. Is it like spinach? Because I like spinach.
No, because spinach is edible.
Okay.
When you have like, kale was like 20, 30 years ago, like you'd find that as your primary garnish. They're like, don't eat that shit. That's just a rubber plant that you can find in a fish tank. And now they're like, oh yeah, now you eat that shit and you can poop and you
you have, pretend you really like it.
Yeah, you pretend it's all you eat, and then you go mountain climbing and kayaking or whatever young people
nice.
Do these days.
I feel like I should know about kale as a Maine resident. I feel like if I were closer to Portland, I'd be part of the kale revolution.
Yeah, the kale conspiracy.
I'm sure plenty of our restaurants serve it. They're very, very yuppie.
Mm. Yep.
But also delicious.
Yeah, it's good if you like make it not taste like kale. Like if you put it in a shake and you blend it up so you can actually like consume it. Because
I gotcha.
It is literally tastes like it has the texture of rubber. You're just chewing forever.
That's weird.
You soak it.
I have an image of like a cow eating grass.
Yeah, that's how you feel. Just chewing your kale cud.
I mean, I don't know. I like greens. Are they really bitter?
No, not that I remember it just being kind of like mostly flavorless.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
I'll have to give them a shot.
Yeah. No.
Are they good when they're steamed?
I don't know. I haven't tried that, but we put them
see
in
what
soup.
I did there?
Oh, no, I didn't. Oh.
I think they'd be most delicious if they were steam-o-est. Or perhaps if you put them in the steam machine.
Or put them in front of your television with your cat.
I was puzzling over the cat thing for a long time, and then I finally there was a
the
cat
image.
In like the promo picture, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that is like the prototype steam machine.
Just a cat?
If they turn steam machines into cats, I feel like everyone would want a steam machine.
Oh yeah, if
it would be
makes...
like harnessing the collective will of the internet to make
yeah,
the perfect
cats are
device.
In. And it's like Transformers too. The cat turns into the steam box, steam machine.
Was there a cat that turned into a transformer in Transformers 2?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
I'm so sad.
Yeah.
Oh, no. What was the reference there then? I never saw that
in
wonderful
what?
Sounding movie.
In
the
Transformers
2.
What did I say Transformers 2 about?
I don't know. I just heard the word Transformers 2, and I thought
oh,
maybe you're
well,
a major
would,
Michael
would,
Bay fan.
It would hit that Transformers like nostalgic love right now, because I'm saying, you know, everybody is into Transformers.
Oh, Transformers as well. Uh-huh. I'm a dumb idiot.
And your cat, your best friend, could also be your gaming system. I mean, you know, it sleeps on your lap, and then it also plays your favorite Linux-based Linux compatible video games.
All like 100 of them.
Yeah. They could even call it the Lynx X.
Oh my god. The Atari Lynx. Back from the grave. They
nope.
just need to purchase that trademark.
Oh yeah, what's Atari doing with that right now?
I don't know. Aren't they in some kind of like mega bankruptcy or something?
Yeah, they've got like
the
yearly herpes bankruptcy that just keeps coming back over and over again. They can never get rid of it.
I know that one of the Kickstarters, the Kickstarter that I supported that I still don't have, the one for like the retro game console, at one point the guy who was in charge of it wanted to bid on Atari.
Nice.
So if he wanted to buy Atari, they must be in a really bad way.
Yeah. Speaking of Kickstarter, I've got my, just in the mail today, I got my Shadowrun goodies.
Oh, what'd you get?
I got a box copy of the game and soundtrack, a dog tag USB, a card
That's
that is like my dock wagon rescue card. It's silly. And an awesome art book and t-shirt. And I'm wearing the t-shirt right now.
That's really awesome. Yep. You should send me a picture of that later.
So now I have a physical copy of the game that has my name in it. And that's all I wanted.
Yeah. I
should sign it. You want me to sign it and sell it on eBay?
You should. I was going to say, I supported, you know, Jason Rohrer?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Do you know Passage?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. A guy who made that made a DS game on Kickstarter. He had completed the game but needed to pay for the production run. And it was called Diamond Trust of London. And it's basically like a board game that that relies on having two players with different views. And I funded that a while ago. And I paid like a little extra to get like a reward. And it was like these little manila envelopes, like these tiny manila envelopes with like little bits of diamond in them. It was the weirdest thing.
Weird.
He's a weird guy. It's cool though. But
that's
yeah.
Sweet. Well,
Kickstarter.
Yeah. You know what you should kick off is the SteamOS discussion, because there's nothing else really happening but that.
Yeah, that's kind of the big news of the day. Valve has put up, or they put up a teaser page, I guess. Was it over the weekend? I think it was, right?
Sure.
let's say then, yeah. I think it was like on Saturday.
A few days ago.
Yes. And they were like, hey, Steam is coming to your living room. And obviously this, you know, everyone knew this was going to happen. And they have like, I think they still have like another circle that needs to be filled in or something. But they have three circles that have things in them. And the first one, which they filled in on Monday, was the announcement of SteamOS, which is a Linux-based operating system, which will run, I guess, they're like, oh, you can enjoy the full library of thousands of Steam games. And then they're like, well, 164 of them work on Linux right now, but you can stream the others from your other computer to Linux in the meantime. So, hey, that's a thing.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, they're targeting living room hardware.
Yeah.
And what are your immediate thoughts on this, Griffin? I'm just curious.
I'm apathetic because I don't. Computer stays in the computer room, and then consoles stay in the big TV room. But I totally can appreciate how people are psyched about this. It's just something I don't really care for.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I wonder. I mean, I guess if you look at if you just think about Steam, like the client itself, divorced from all the other bullshit about PCs, and you think about how like Steam, you know, automatic updating, you know, simple friends lists, and like a relatively open feeling platform.
Yeah.
Lots of sales. You know, pretty non onerous DRM. Uh-huh. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it'll be big. Who knows? Hard to say, really.
I think you're right. I think that if all the stars do align and you know everything that works so well on Steam PC, you know, succeeds, Steam Throwback or whatever the hell we want to call it now, you
know, Steam Classic,
and with new Steam, it ends up, or Crystal Steam, it ends up, you know, having that same beloved nature to it. It would be super awesome, because then, you know, especially if they do the marketing right and get boxes and houses and say, dude, it's easy. Mm-hmm. Everything's there.
Mm-hmm.
Like that would be great. It's just, you know, I think my sentiments are felt by many, where it's like, no, keep that computer shit out of my living room. That stays in the computer room.
But is it really going to be like computer shit if it's like, all you do is you buy your Steam box with Steam OS preloaded on it, and it's I mean, once you get rid of like all the Windows shit around Steam, or all the, you know, Mac shit around Steam, and you just have Steam, you turn on the computer and you're in Steam,
you
in
have
like
big
picture
steamy
mode.
Shit.
Yeah, exactly. Is it gonna be a hot and steamy experience, or is it gonna be a steaming pile of shit? I guess is the real question. No, I mean, so like once you're in Steam big picture mode, if that's where you live, I mean, how different is that from like a console?
I think you're right. I think that's the sane, realistic way to look at it and say, hey, this is essentially just going to be like your XMB or your cross or your new Windows experience or whatever the hell that Microsoft 360 desktop is.
Yeah.
you know, if you boot it up and all it is there is your portal into gaming goodness, then yeah, that's totally cool. But I still think that that has a connotation with computer boxes mm-hmm. to the non, you know, computer intelligent people.
Yeah. Well, certainly if their solution to get their entire library available is just stream it to your Steam box, that's mm-hmm. not going to resonate with your average person. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I guess I could envision a scenario where this takes off. I mean, obviously it's not going to be right at once because, you know, if everything isn't native, then you've got a problem. But I mean, is the barrier to entry? I think the barrier to entry on Steam is a lot lower. I mean, I think people would argue that Greenlight is not the best way to get it's not the best process for getting games distributed. But you know, it's not that hard to get a game on Steam if enough people want it.
Sure.
Versus a console, like, you know, one of the games I picked up this week, we'll come back to it, was Lone Survivor for PS Vita, and that's a port of an indie game that came out, you know, like over a year ago. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, the guy worked on it and added new stuff. But you know, there's a history of stuff takes a little longer to make its way over to consoles sometimes.
Hold on, I gotta pause you here for a second. I just have to tell everyone listening. So I wrecked my knee and I have an ice bag on it, and my cat just climbed up on my foot. So now I'm getting like the sweet and spicy KY jelly thing where it's like I've got hot leg and then cold knee. Sorry. Okay. Anyway.
Are you streaming your Steam collection to Billy the cat?
Yeah. Well, she'll eventually be able to just be my portable cat boombox of video game things, as we were saying earlier.
I think this is the greatest idea.
Yeah.
The internet would immediately just embrace the Steam cat.
Meow.
Yeah.
Meow,
so what
meow
was I
OS?
Saying? Meow OS. That's brilliant. Yeah, what was I even saying? I don't remember. Oh, yeah, just like stuff comes out on Steam quicker. So, like, I mean, I'm wondering, like, is there any inherent advantage that SteamOS has over consoles in this space, do you think?
I think in this space, the biggest advantage is with people who already have Steam and are heavily invested mm-hmm. in Steam, and they're like, yes, I love this service and I appreciate it because they do so many things better than the console. So, I mean, it's like, what does Valve really get out of it from mm-hmm. those people? Probably not a lot more.
Probably nothing, yeah.
I mean, I guess the only thing would be like in a person like my situation where I like Steam, I like what it does, mm-hmm. but I have consoles already and I'd rather play my games on them if they make things, you know, more approachable, if they make things like having a PC and playing your games on a PC, you know, a lower barrier to entry and I can mm-hmm. just plug and play, you know, then my prospect of like playing multi-platform games on a PC or on a Steam enabled device is going to shoot up, and my desire to do so will follow. And, you know, I may just leave consoles altogether if that's going to be the one console future is not a console.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting.
What do you think?
What'd you say? What's the last bit?
How do you feel about this? Like, what's your thoughts on it, since you're a Steam lover? Steam affiliate.
I guess I'm giving it some thought. I mean, I think if all they do is get people who are already loving Steam to go to the living room, I'm not really sure what that gains for them. I think they hope, or they have more grand designs. I think they want to get non Steamers. I feel like there's so many Steam related puns we could do here. Using Steam, and I feel like they want. I guess right now, I mean, if you think about what they're going to offer out of the gate, it's not really that compelling. But I mean, I don't know. Here's a question that I have for you: did Gabe Newell have any involvement in getting Doom ported to Windows? I'm going to look it up right now. I read that on a thing.
I don't know.
Okay.
What's
yes.
your thought process?
So okay. So I guess at one point, well, obviously, at one point, Windows was not really a gaming platform. And Gabe Newell actually devised a port of Doom to Windows. I guess part, I don't know. There was just some people who were writing about how, like, why did he do this? Just the idea. Okay, the idea of like turning Linux into a gaming platform, kind of moving away from all of the like moving away from all of Windows shit and like building this like this one gaming platform. I don't know. I mean, I guess it seems outlandish to us, I guess, to even think that Linux could be like a place to play your games, but maybe we're just short-sighted, and maybe like because it was done at one point with Windows, and in fact Gabe Newell was partially involved in it. So why can't it be done with Linux, and why can't it become, I guess, what's holding it back from becoming like widespread? Why wouldn't people want it?
The only thing I can think of right now is just the mind share, you know, mm-hmm. of the living room space is spread so thin between mm-hmm. your consoles, your Apple devices, your Roku boxes. It's like pretty soon your TV is going to start, you know, looking like the Swiss Army knife of just, mm-hmm. you know, dongles and shit hanging off it, where you, mm-hmm. you know, everybody wants one thing that is going to do everything well. And if you add in this new box that says, hey, it's a great device for playing PC games, but it's not a PC and it doesn't do PC things, and it's not really a console, and yet it connects to your TV and plays stuff really well on that. It's like, well, that's kind of oddly specific for trying to penetrate this general audience.
Well, what makes it not a console, though? Like, what's the distinction between a quote-unquote PC game and, you know, like a PlayStation game? When you remove Windows from the equation.
Well, I think we'll get into that in a little bit here when we talk about the second circle.
That's true, yeah.
Hey, don't disconnect that. Sorry, not you, the cat.
Okay. Yeah, we should... I think I know what you're getting at, and I just wanted to say one other thing about SteamOS before we get there, which is that it is... For all of Gabe Newell's comments about how Windows will, like, discourage... The new versions of Windows will like make it harder for people to compete. Uh-huh. SteamOS would do a great job of preventing people like EA with Origin or Ubisoft with Uplay from even existing, like as competition to Steam. Because how are you going to run that shit on SteamOS?
Right.
There's just no way. Which I thought was pretty funny.
Yeah.
Just to think about how it's like it's an open platform, but it's a great way to shut down everyone else because it's open, yeah, but like nobody's going to code for Steam's own OS.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So I just thought that was interesting. But yeah, we can talk about the machines. What were your thoughts about that?
Well, do you want to jump off you want to hammer out some of these details and then I'll try and remember what I was saying after that, like what they actually announced about the Steam machine?
Yeah, sure. They really announced next to nothing about it. They said, hey, guys, there's going to be Steam machines. And everyone was like, oh, my God, that's a cool name. and then I thought of that Daft Punk song that I posted on the document, uh-huh. which I hope you looked at.
I did watch it, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, they
said... Steampunk.
Nice. Are you a steampunk?
I'm into steam funk.
You're just rattling those puns off.
They're not even puns. It doesn't even make sense.
so they announced the Steam machine. They really said almost nothing about it. No mention of specs, no mention of anything except that there is going to be a bunch of them. It's going to come in a lot of different flavors to accommodate a lot of different types of needs. And they're going to be doing a beta, I guess, in early 2014, I think it was. And they're going to be sending out like 300 prototypes to various Steam users. And if you have like enough hats or emoticons or stickers or something, you can qualify. I don't know. Yeah. There's a whole bunch of requirements to become a...
Take enough screenshots and...
Pretty much, yeah. You have to. I had a look at it and I'm like, hey, I could do this. But then it was like, you have to have 10 Steam friends. And I was like, fuck.
You have to have 10 Steam friends and then you have to like create a group and post in it or something. And I'm like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, it's a little much. I mean, I'll probably give it a shot at some point. I mean, you know, you have until October 25th.
You could be one of the 300. I actually thought about doing it too. And I was like, hey, you know, no, I'm not going to do this because there are probably better suited people than me who... should be getting into this opposed to me. Like,
yeah, I
would rather
true.
Not enter into it and give somebody else a chance who is probably deeper into the Steam culture and would be a better resource and looking at a new box like that.
I always feel that way when like new hardware comes out and they have like a select group of testers. Mm. I'm like, I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. but yeah, so they haven't really said much of anything about what they're doing with the hardware, except that there's going to be multiple devices, which maybe I'm thinking maybe that's what you were getting at.
Yes, that's exactly what I was getting at. And that's it's not a console because it's you know, it's not, there's not essentially one set model of hardware. It's like saying, oh, you know, I my console of choice is an Android based phone or tablet. You know, it's like, yeah, you're
it's
running
like we
this...
all we all access the same store, but we can't all play the same games.
Exactly. So if they end up going the route of, okay, let's outsource this, find out what's worked best, you know, make a couple SKUs and then market it like a console where you have, you know, hey, this is this kind of computer with this kind of architecture and hardware and shit in it, and this one's this one, this does this, is one's $1,000, one's $500, and one's $100. Like, I still even feel that's the closest they could get to making a console-like device. But because computers are so upgradable and so customizable, and because that stuff, I mean, it's being made by dudes who make computer games, and that's what Steam has always been about. They're not going to close it off into this one single, you know, single device utopia. You know, they are going to leave it open and leave it open for customization because they know that's what their fans want. All right, slight technical difficulty. I forgot what I was saying, even though I just re-listened to it a second ago. So,
I believe you were talking about how having different hardware SKUs or whatever is going to fragment the market, perhaps?
Yep, you said it better than I did, so good enough.
Wait. Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't really... I momentarily forgot about that, but that's going to be an issue. I mean, I guess it's a blessing and a curse to have multiple hardware SKUs, because you just... I mean, it's great for the PC guys, like you said, but it's not really good for console aspirations.
Yeah. I mean, unless they can do the marketing push in it well enough where they kind of do like the premium, like rad, and then, you know, like streamline or whatever they want to do to like.
Yeah, I think it was good, better, and best were the words they use, which are pretty lame words.
Yeah.
Yeah, game companies would never do that. Like, they would never sell a device that's missing some essential features, like a Vita TV that's missing essential touchscreens and
Or
touches, or
a handheld device
or something.
Yep,
hilarious,
that's missing
like that.
One of its primary selling features.
Yeah, I would, that would never happen.
Nope, no.
But yeah, no, you're completely right. That is a major issue.
Yeah. But, you know,
so I don't know. I mean,
if there is one company to do that side of it well and make a fragmented device that works well, I mean, I think Steam would be the one that does it.
Yeah. You know,
having that creativity and that driving force and that goodwill and that reverence for their fans, I think that, you know, they probably will succeed where many others might have failed. And if you have if they decide to go the, you know, the multi-tiered route.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they'll enjoy at least moderate success. But who knows to what degree things will really blow up.
Exactly. Yep.
Then there's this whole thing like where they recently started offering like regular applications through Steam.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder if that was part of this ploy to get into the living room. Although just from having a PC in my living room, most applications are not fun on a 40-inch television.
Hey guys, come on over. Let's play fake Excel spreadsheet.
Photoshop, get some carpal tunnel on our couch with a mouse.
I don't know. I need hard surface. Does anybody have a hard surface? I have a hard surface 2 buzzing.
Whoa. The hard surface pro 2 with,
that's about as good as that
docking
thing is going to be useful for.
Power cover.
Mm.
Just going to throw all the buzzwords out.
Can't wait for those commercials, those Snap It commercials to come back on.
It's going to be so many.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to yell at me about this device with Steve Ballmer gone?
I have no idea. Julie Larson Green just cannot carry that torch.
No, yeah.
Yeah, so Steambox or Steam Machine. It'll be interesting. What do you think the last circle is? Any ideas?
Speculation is controller.
You think so?
I don't think so. I mean, no.
You don't think so?
I think that controller... Yeah, I mean, it'll probably be controller because that's the thing that makes most sense. But if they do put the Steam controller out, like, it's going to make me so bummed. Like, Because no matter what it is, it won't be a good thing. Like, if it ends up being a really great controller, I'll be like, well, fuck, now this thing is really good and I want to use it with my other consoles and I can't. Or else it's like, yep, another Ouya. Stradivarius of controllers right here once again.
I feel like they're not gonna Ouya that thing.
Right. More like Cativarius.
Whoa. What if the controller was a cat? What if the controller was a kitten and the console was a cat?
Okay. And you
paired them by having the kitten suckle on the cat.
Okay.
That was like Bluetooth pairing.
Skittles on Skittles action.
Yes. You have to just really excitedly say hi to your cat to turn it on.
That's great.
Interestingly enough, I feel like this is a conspiracy because we were just talking about the Surface and there is an ad on my Skype right now showing for the Surface.
NSA!
Microsoft is so in cahoots with them.
What do you think the final bubble is going to be?
I'm thinking it's probably going to be the date of the apocalypse.
Oh, okay. Yeah. The zombie apocalypse?
Yeah.
Or is it going to be Half-Life 3?
Oh, God. If they do that, I feel like that's just... I don't even know how to feel about that. That'd be dumb.
I'm so ready. Get it out of the way. Fucking put a bullet in that thing.
That game is never... The hype for that game. I don't even... Like, Half-Life 2 was...
No, better. It was a fun game. Better. The final bubble is just... it just says, we're not making fucking Half-Life 3.
So get off your case about it. Also Left 4 Dead 3. Though the final bubble should first turn into 3 and then produce another countdown.
Oh my god.
And then reveal Left 4 Dead 3.
I haven't even thought about third bubble. Man, I bet there's like message boards conspiracy theories going crazy right now.
I know. And meanwhile, I'm like, whatever. Don't care.
I could see it being an improved companion app. Like the Steam whatever the device is, like the Steam app that is for phones and tablets and whatnot, which I do like a lot, but I would like to see the final bubble being like, okay, now it's in your living room and everywhere else you go because the Steam app is better because you can actually do shit on it instead of just talking to friends and buying games.
Yeah, I feel like it'd be great if it were something to sort of seal the deal, like something that made this an even more compelling package. I don't know what that would be, but it'd be great if it wasn't just a controller, because you can already use a lot of controllers in Steam.
I would like it to be a streaming device of some kind where I can watch my friends play games.
Interesting. I mean, couldn't you just? I guess. Yeah, you could put that in the. You can put that on your phone. It's your phone is a streaming device that can watch friends playing games.
Yeah. But that's a functionality I would like, where it's like, hey, okay. I see. Tyrannosaurus Rex is playing Velvet Assassin and
Gotcha. So like built like, into Steam.
Yeah, and then I jump into their game and I can watch them play.
So like spectating, like Steam spectating.
Yes.
That'd be pretty sick. You should go work there. Okay. That's an awesome idea.
I know how to do those things too. I'll make it happen. I'm just not an ideas guy. I can
That was a pretty good idea though. I like it. Yeah. So it's a lot more interesting than the inevitable controller they're going to show.
Sure.
I feel like if they're not going to show their hardware, like their box, why do they need to show their controller?
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. And if they're already saying, hey, we're investigating multiple SKUs and design models and prototypes as to how we're going to actually go about creating this Steam machine, and then they're just going to be like, oh, yeah, and we have this dope-ass controller that we've been sitting on for years.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, we all know it's going to be like an Xbox controller with like maybe one more button. Because it has to. All the Steam games that work with controllers work with Xbox controllers.
I have a question for you. Do you think that if they do create the living room experience device, do they have to bundle it with a controller? They probably do, right?
No, they don't have to. I mean, they could just say, hey, you know what? It works with your 360 controller. And if you want to buy like the Steam controller, by all means, we have like 10 of that you can choose from.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, for, I guess, for what they could be doing in that arena.
It just, to me, it would seem like you would have to put the controller in the box if you're going to sell it as like a console competitor. Not like,
I guess that's true.
You can Bluetooth it with your PS4 controller. You have that, right?
But if you sell a portable, you don't have to put the charger in the box. Nintendo said so. Mm-hmm. Yep. There's so much great precedence for horrible decisions.
You know why that was done that way, right? You're talking
because...
the Famicom?
No, I'm talking about the friggin' 3DS XL in Europe. They didn't bundle it with a charger.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Did they not bundle the Famicom with the controller?
No, they didn't bundle it with a cable to connect to the wall.
Maybe oh, that was why was
Super,
that?
Super Famicom, one of those two. It was because the Japanese tax laws were a lot higher on certain electronic devices, and if they included a power cable in the device, it would put it into this different category of electronic device. So if they left the cable out, they could essentially shave like $40 off it or something. So they're yep, not going to put that in there. And
that's incredible.
I feel really bad that I can't remember if it's Famicom or Super Famicom, but you know, it was one of those two things. And it hearing that was super cool. Like, oh, there's actually intelligence behind that to save money for the consumer.
Well, Nintendo left the 3DS XL cable out because they like making money.
Hmm.
Also because, they claimed, because it's they've been using the same cable since the DSi. You probably already have one.
Mm.
Which is not true for everyone, but right. No. It's Nintendo. They're crazy.
Well, maybe with the 2DS you'll get two. It's their Maya Koopa.
But you'll have to purchase the stylus separately.
They create a campaign in Europe called Maya Koopa. And it's their mea culpa.
Oh, like mea culpa.
Yeah, and they give you two controller, or they give you two wall plugs, so you can have double the charging.
Is there going to be a special attachment that adds a third dimension to your device? Dimension Pad Pro. It's just like an analog stick that somehow is a third dimension.
It's going to be like that classic Game Boy lens that you'd put on the top of it, where it's the microscope.
I want them to start selling hilarious accessories, like a reading light. Remember when you had to buy like special lights to hook up to your DSs?
Send you a pair of red and blue glasses, and you can toggle your system into red and blue mode.
For an anaglyph or whatever?
Yeah, yes.
That'd be amazing. Oh, man. So that'll be interesting to see what goes on with Steam OS and all that business.
Yeah.
Were you anticipating them announcing an operating system? Was anyone anticipating that?
I don't know. I think some people may have with Gabe's, I think you had mentioned it a couple weeks ago when he's like, I really like Linux.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
So, I mean, and you know, everybody's kind of waiting on Valve to make their next big weird move, but I definitely didn't see them announcing an OS, and I still don't even really know what that means. So, you know,
here's one thing that I would say about that. Think about how slow Steam runs. How laggy the interface is. I can't imagine how shitty their OS is going to be.
Yeah.
They are good at a lot of things, but coding non-game software does not seem to be one of their fortes.
Sure, and I've never used Big Picture Mode, but Steam, as in their front-end service, is hot fucking street trash. Like, the design the design of it is the most unintuitive thing ever.
Oh my god, it's a mess.
Yeah.
Greenlight is buried under the community tab.
Uh-huh. Yep, trying to figure out how to, change anything on my profile is this Herculean task of self-discovery and mysteries. I'm on National Treasure just trying to fucking figure out how to change my profile picture or something.
I feel like Nicolas Cage should be an Easter egg of Steam OS.
I think that all the consoles should just be named after internet GIF memes. So, or all the Steam versions. So you've got the Nicolas Cage bees. Oh no, not the bees! Is like the high end. And you've got Grumpy Cat as the low end.
That would be incredible. I'll lie.
Yo dog is in there somewhere.
Yo dog, I heard you like Steam, so you put Steam in your operating system. You could Steam while you Steam. Yeah. I don't know. It's gonna be weird, mm-hmm. But yeah, they definitely their client. I mean, it's the game part of it's cool, but I'm like mousing around in it right now, and I have a fast ass computer, and it is laggy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. We'll have to see how that goes.
Yeah, a whole retooling of their entire, you know, user interface needs to happen.
Yeah, you think they could just fix that by just hiring a guy, though?
Right.
Couple guys.
I don't. Based on their like business plan and their company mission statement, it's like nobody's really into that shit. They'd rather like create movies.
I feel like their business plan is like, hey, this is pretty cool. Let's do this.
Did you read that when it came out?
Wait, that they're making movies?
No, that their when their new employee hire manual, training manual came out, you could read like what all the
And
it's like how there's no 1,000 points of intersection. Nobody is above anybody else, and you just do what you're into, man. Like it's total fucking Star Trek. Like you just there's no responsibilities. You just do what you enjoy, and you do it because you enjoy it.
Except Gabe Newell speaks at all the events.
Yeah, sharpens his knives.
Determines the direction of the company. So I'm sure that that's true, but by the same token, I mean there is some kind of power structure there. But it definitely shows through the whole horizontal organization of the company, because like they're like, oh hey, here's Greenlight now.
Uh-huh.
This is happening.
Oh hey, remember like, making games? Yeah, we kind of forgot too.
They do seem to sometimes lack direction in what they do, or like they just take arbitrary direction. So I don't know.
But even when they do it, like everything is done so well, like despite how impossible Dota 2 is, I mean, just as a thing to exist, they do it really well. And obviously so because of how popular it is.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Unfortunately, I don't really like, I'm not huge on multiplayer games. Like I like some, but everything that Valve has been offering recently has offered pretty limited returns for me. Like I didn't really like Left 4 Dead that much.
Oh yeah.
I got bored of it really fast.
Sure.
And what else did they put out recently?
Portal 2.
Portal 2 was great. Yeah. I enjoyed it. I felt like it. I'm seen to be in the extreme minority here, but I felt like Portal 2, it felt more like they were going through the motions to me than Portal 2, interestingly enough.
Yeah.
I became very aware of the structure of the game.
Huh.
The, like, new punchline every test chamber. Like, okay, you go in a test chamber, you get a punchline, and then you do the puzzle.
Right. It became a little more obvious too when it was, you know, in the first game, that was a very linear structure where it's like one test chamber, one joke, and then complete, rinse and repeat. And then in this, it's like, well, there's not really test chambers anymore, but they still are. And then it retains that same structure, and you're like, huh, okay.
Yeah, and I felt a little miffed when they're like, hey, you're out of the test chambers now. Let's go to the old test chambers.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
With the new guy narrating. But it's the same formula.
Right.
And I was like, all right. You say so.
Right.
So, yeah,
but
it wasn't quite as numb.
Even if it was just a rat race, like, to get to the next little nugget of comedy, I still had a great time. And
I love that.
If that is a form, a design, like a meta design choice there where, you know, I relate to the player because I escape the puzzle and get the piece of cheese at the end of it, then good on them for you know, realizing that.
Oh, totally. Yeah. I mean, whenever Portal 3 is inevitably announced, I'm going to buy that thing in an instant. But
yeah, except I won't, because it's going to have to be like all multiplayer.
Probably.
Well, that's stated that all games going forward will be primarily multiplayer focused.
Why are they doing that to me? Why do they got to do that?
So you can show your hats off to somebody. You can't show your hats off to nobody.
I hate the hats.
If hats fall in the woods and nobody is there to see them.
Yeah, they're all about.
Did Steam make any money off it?
User-generated content and monetization of user crap. Just, like, it's cool. I like Steam, but I don't really like what Valve is doing specifically with games and stuff.
Yeah.
So hopefully, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It'll be interesting.
Right. I don't love it. It's not for me, but I, more so than most game companies, I really respect them because what they do well, and they treat their fan base so well.
Yeah. I mean, you can't argue with that.
You know.
They seem like pretty okay guys. I don't seem to share the same interests that they do, I guess I would say.
Right.
But they're definitely okay guys, and Steam is awesome. So
it'll be
cool.
Saying, if you could go have a beer with one video game developer, you know, it'd probably be Steam. They'd be the most chill. you go hang out with Valve, and it's like, yeah.
We're not I don't know if I'd go hang out with Gabe Newell necessarily, but he'd be an okay guy to hang out with.
No,
he'd be a nice dude.
I mean Steam in general. Like,
oh, Steam. Yeah. I'd just have a beer with Steam.
The disembodied persona of Steam, yeah.
The ghost of Steam.
Right. I feel like, you know, totally. Nintendo would be, you know, really stiff and awkward and, you know, just constantly, you know, distracted and on its, like, you know, fucking...
Constantly just bowing and apologizing.
No, yeah, exactly. Talk about how the next beer is going to be so much better.
They'd order, like the thing on the menu that took the longest time to cook and just profusely apologize and ask us to wait a little longer.
And talk about, you know, how they really... You should have been there for when they had that really great meal that one time.
And then they just keep requesting leftovers.
And everybody in the restaurant makes fun of you because you weren't there that first time.
Yeah. I feel like if you ate with EA, they would just punch you repeatedly and take your money.
Yeah, yeah.
Give me your money. Jamie has just talked to me and wants to talk through me and contribute the following thing to the podcast.
Okay.
GTA killed the PlayStation.
Okay.
He wants your reaction.
Was he playing GTA on his PlayStation analog? His
Super Slim?
Yeah, and did it kill it?
I highly doubt it. I'm going to check.
Oh my god, I feel terrible.
I highly doubt it. He just wants to mess with you.
Oh, okay. Then yes, GTA killed everything.
I feel like I mean, now's as good a time as any to. You want to talk about that a little bit, or you want to keep
about,
going on news?
About brothers?
About brothers?
What do I want to talk about? GTA?
You can if you want to, or do you want to keep going on news?
No, that's fine. There's not much to say, honestly. I played it for a couple hours over the weekend, and then I've been playing it maybe a mission or two every night, but I can't do it, dude. Like, it's. I can't play this game.
I read a great art. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just. All I was gonna say was, my goal is to get to the first big heist where, you know, it's like that this big set piece of you robbing this bank and controlling everybody and jumping from person to person. And it's, I feel like that is kind of what defines GTA, like that moment when, you know, all the little tools that you have in your tool belt all get used to their most effective way in this one mission. And I want to get there and see how that all plays out. But
yeah,
the road to getting
cool,
there is just so fucking boring.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say that the previews look pretty cool with the switching between the characters and shooting and the driving of the stuff and breaking into the place.
The switching between characters is easily my favorite part of it. Especially with what they're introducing now, where it's like each character has a different amount of stats. So it's like, you know, old white dude, he's really good at shooting guns and being stealthy. And then like young black kid is like, get ready for it, good at running and driving.
Oh no.
And then I'm assuming that the third character, who I don't have yet, is going to be good at like everything else. So like he's good at sprint or at taking damage and holding his breath or something. So
some arbitrary game skills.
But what's really cool too is like then those characters have quote-unquote special abilities. So like you get your Red Dead Redemption bullet time with the one dude who's good at guns, and then you get your other Red Dead Redemption driving bullet time with the dude who's really good at driving. I can only imagine what the third person's is.
That feels kind of lazy.
It's
the same ability in different contexts.
Yeah, it is, but it works really well. Like there's nothing clever or really unique about it, but it's just like applying it in this situation. It makes the characters feel valuable, opposed to just like this like blank cipher. It makes planning what you're doing a little more interesting, where it's like, oh, I'll have the dude who's good at driving drive, of course. Hello. Duh. Right.
But, yeah, of course. You wouldn't have the good dude who's not good at driving.
Right. That's crazy. That's crazy.
Yeah. I was going to say earlier, I read an interesting, did you ever read Extra Lives? The book?
Mm-mm.
Okay. It's this guy, his name's Tom Bissell. He basically wrote about how he went on a coke-fueled binge and played a ton of GTA, among other things, and like discovered this deep abiding love for games. And like he used to be like a, or I guess he still is like a journalist, but he got really deep into games. And he talked about like how they changed him and stuff. And he wrote this article about GTA and like why he didn't, he loved GTA 4. He like absolutely, he totally identified with Nico for whatever reason. Was like totally into the game, loved all the shit you could do, all the GTA stuff you could do, blowing up stuff and driving into things and all kinds of crap. And he didn't really like GTA 5. And he basically was like, I think I'm like just getting too old for this shit. Like the medium has kind of moved on.
Yep.
And like I liked this like when I was younger and when it was new and fresh, but like the stuff you do in GTA, it's kind of played out. Like open world, like that genre, that idea, just like you can do everything and just blow stuff up and
right.
steal cars and stuff. It's just kind of like, I'm kind of done with it.
Well, that's absolutely how I'm feeling. Like, it's that, you know, jack of all trades, master of none mentality of video game design, where it's like, yeah, you can go golfing and parachuting and hang gliding and driving and roller coastering and cheese wheel tossing and hacky sacking, but are any of those experiences better in this game than the other game, like a game that's exclusively about that? No, of course not.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, when you first played, you know, I guess for a lot of people it was GTA 4, for some people it was GTA 3, it was like, wow, this is a revelation. Like, you know, this world is huge, mm-hmm. and like, you know, I can go all the way across the world and it takes me like 20 minutes, or like, you know, right. I can do X and X and Y, and now it's like, oh, well, of course this world is huge, you know, of course I can do all this shit. It's like, okay, now what? Like,
right, and more specifically,
the novelty of that is off. What's that?
More specifically, with you know, I'm too old for this shit game design, it's like, yeah, it takes 20 minutes to get across the map, and I don't want to take 20 minutes to get across your fucking map, because I have other things I want to be doing. I would be playing your game, not driving.
Yeah.
So yeah, that is one of the most frustrating things about that game, is they are still locked into that game design mentality of like, you have a million hours and you will spend them in this world. So every mission is, you run to the mission point, that takes X amount of time. You start the mission up and you get the little intro sequence where things are happening, that takes time to watch. Now it's get to this location, get to this vehicle, get to this person, and then listen to them talk to you while you're stuck in this car, motorcycle, plane, hang glider, RV, whatever sort of thing it is that, you know, you have to be locked into while you get from point A to point B, so they can give you the narrative as to why you're doing it, and then you do it. And then it's over, and then you drive back, and then it's rinse and repeat forever. And it's like, well, this really isn't fun anymore.
It kind of reminds me, actually, the complaint that you're levying or lodging against it reminds me of how people got really upset when in Oblivion, the sequel to, you know, Elder Scrolls Morrowind, they added fast travel to get across the world, and people were like, "Oh man, you totally ruined the game!" Like, part of the fun was like how long it took you to traverse the world and how you get a quest and you have to walk to the quest location.
Right.
And it's like, yeah, for some people, but like other people are just getting too old for the shit. And right. that was a good move. Like you don't have to do that. But,
right. My castle like, for a fucking horse or bicycle or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh oh. No, I didn't lose you. Did I? I'm pausing it right now. All right.
All right, we're back.
Yeah.
See, I was just saying, I was one of the people who was anti fast travel at first, and then I happily fast traveled all over the place in Skyrim and felt no guilt or lack of fun, and I felt like the game is better for it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that adapting, you know, and changing up the mechanics and like making those concessions is a good thing.
Yeah, I think it's just the next Grand Theft Auto game doesn't need to be an open world game.
Hmm.
Boom.
Interesting. So you think it could just be the missions?
Yeah. Right.
Really?
If the next Grand Theft Auto game was just like, hey, here's fucking Call of Duty, like follow this dude to the entire game. Okay, fine. I'm already doing that, essentially. I just can't go sell hot dogs and pizza.
I don't know. I mean, I never thought that part of Grand Theft Auto was very fun.
The missions?
That's the problem with Grand Theft Auto, yeah.
Huh. Well, yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe what is so appealing about Grand Theft Auto is with all those bells and whistles that never do anything really great, there's something for everybody, even if it isn't, you know, the best at what it is.
Mm-hmm. I think that's probably why it does so well. Something else that I remember from that article, he talked about how Red Dead Redemption, did you play that?
Mm-hmm.
Did you like it or no?
Yeah, I liked it. I don't think it was the life-changing event that a lot of people did, but that's just because I was like, yeah, it's an open-world game.
Mm-hmm. He liked that better, I think, because... Let's see what he said. I think he was feeling that like it put more restrictions on what you could do, in terms of like you couldn't just go and kill everyone. But I don't know if that's the problem that you were having with the game to begin with. So I think you just don't really like open world because you feel like it's been utterly played out.
Yes, and I like games like Grand Theft or like Saints Row, where when it's an open world game, they strip away the mature sense of storytelling. So, for example, let me concretize this for you. Like, when I'm playing Grand Theft Auto 5 and I'm driving around the streets, you know, I'm trying to obey traffic laws, you know, as not, you know, I'm trying to not hit cars. I'm trying to drive respectfully, not kill people. I feel bad about stealing cars from people, like, because the characters just feel so much more real, and the world seems so much more realized, where it's like, oh, I probably shouldn't do that because these dudes are like, that's not what they would do. Like, this character that I'm playing right now has been defined as a character that wouldn't walk up to somebody randomly and steal their car. Like, at least with Nico in Grand Theft Auto 4, this character is like slightly unstable, has a past, and is a little bit of an enigma. Like, and or you can justify, like, yeah, he's going bonkers this one time. He's really, really mad. In these games, it's like, I haven't gotten the character that's unhinged and is the psychopath. So the two dudes right now seem more straight-laced. So doing those kind of crazy, outlandish, open-world things just seems weird. And that's
very
why I like...
incongruous.
Yeah, that's why I like Saints Row 4 and 3, where they're like, yeah, the main character's like, yeah, I'm a psychopath. Like, I do this stuff, and that's terrifying, isn't it? And it's like, okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like Trevor, at least, was a good way to deal with that element of of that problematic element of GTA.
Yeah.
Just having, like, a guy who's just insane.
Yeah.
Then, like, okay, yeah, you can do whatever. So, I don't know. We'll see how you feel once you get him. But I doubt it'll turn you into a convert from the sound of things.
Well, and then the other thing is, you know, playing as Trevor for the little bit that I did, it's like the dude just seems almost a little too crazy. Like, it's uncomfortable playing as him, where, you know, the common consensus among anecdotal stories is like, oh, he's so funny. He says so many funny things. Oh, he's kind of crazy. You know, and the little that I've seen, it's like that's the character, that's the voice that I don't want my family hearing, where he's like, fuck pigs, suck it, you know, and you're like, oh, okay, I'm just killing cops here, and he's having a great time, like, that's not me, I don't want, nope, not me.
I feel like Grand Theft Auto was awesome if you are a teenager, or, like, single, or, like, not settled down.
Right.
Is really what we're getting at.
I think there is some truth to that. Yeah,
when you're just kind of mad at the world.
Yeah.
Once you made your peace, you're like, I don't need this.
Yeah, Grand Theft Auto is like Kiss or rap music or whatever.
Or jelly pudding.
Yeah, dubstep. Whatever is terrifying parents at the moment.
You didn't catch my Bill Cosby reference.
No,
in there.
What did you say?
I said our Jell-O pudding snacks.
Yeah,
you don't remember with the kids with the rap music and the Jell-O pudding and the isn't that a thing? Okay, never mind.
I need. Yeah, I don't know.
I'll have to link into the video later.
Please do.
So, Yeah, so it seems like it. You're right. We're not really in the target audience. So hopefully it doesn't steal the show and take a lot of attention away from the games that we want to be.
Yeah.
Remembered.
And
I don't think it will.
I think you're right. I think critically right now people are saying, you know, the kind of consensus is, hey, it's doing what it's doing, but I'm kind of done with it.
Yeah, and interestingly, I mean, I think it's cool whenever there's, you know, a lot of different voices about a game. I would say I saw less negative voices of any kind about The Last of Us or Bioshock Infinite, which are the other two big releases of the year.
Right.
Which I think can be kind of good and bad. But it seems like people are more willing to openly speak about their kind of, like you said, you know, doneness or tiredness when it comes to GTA. So
right.
It's interesting to see people doing that. I haven't seen that as much with those other games.
Yeah.
Like I saw one negative review for The Last of Us, maybe one negative review for Bioshock, but that's it really.
Sure.
So
and that's so, probably why I've just been playing a lot more of Virtue's Last Reward.
Tell me about what's going on in that game.
I can't say anything more except that it's really good and it just keeps on getting fucking better, like every playthrough. Like, I don't know if it's just the path that I'm taking or just playing the game more and more, and I'm being more aware of things to pick up on. But it just so much unfolds, and it just becomes so much more like the really good parts of Lost, where the mysteries start making sense. And the clues that you've been noticing, like, actually have meaning and merit and get referenced in the storytelling.
So it's not really like Lost, then?
No, it's like the good parts of Lost, where, you know, it's that stuff all
but
works.
The clues never had merit in Lost.
Yeah, okay, don't worry. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. So it's what Lost could have been.
So I have a question for you. Because I'm definitely going to play this at some point. Do you think I would benefit from playing 999, Herman Cain Adventures?
I can't speak to that since I never played 999.
Okay. I was just going to say, are there a lot of references to like stuff that you don't know about?
I will take the bullet on this, and when I finish this game, I'll go read about how it ties into 999.
Okay.
And I'll tell you, and then, okay, you know, you can enjoy that moment, and I don't need to. But what's really interesting is while you're playing this game, it'll have like, it'll, you know, go into this long discussion about this thing, and then and it'll say like, well, in the previous entry into the franchise, nine persons, nine doors, and nine whatevers, and like, it'll make reference to the previous game.
That's so weird.
Not in a stupid fourth wall breaking, like, ha ha ha, we know what we're doing here, but it's like, no, like, for realsies.
Like in our last adventure.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
It'd be like the last time this happened.
Yeah. It'd be like if there was a book in the Bible that was like, so in that last book, you know, like, it takes itself so seriously.
That's really funny.
Yeah. But it just also seems so out of place.
Mm, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad that they like fill you in on the relevant shit. So that it sounds like maybe I don't need to play.
The thing that I've heard though is it's more than just understanding the story, because everything in the story is definitely there. Like, I'm never feeling like, oh man, I really wish I knew more about, you know, the previous entry. It's more of just they'll reference something to 999. It's like, yeah, I guess I kind of get that. And I've heard that It goes beyond that, like the ending to 999 and some of the characters developed in that game have some bearing on what happens at the end of this game, and the payoff is totally worth it.
Interesting.
And
it's like the Chrono Cross effect. Did you play Chrono Cross all the way through?
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Where you don't have to have played Chrono Trigger at all,
uh-huh,
and you can kind of understand the game, but if you really want to get into the arcane, ridiculous story, then you, playing Chrono Trigger helps you.
You read Radical Dreamers.
Yeah, you have to play the friggin' phone game or whatever.
Yep, and then you learn about
how... Wasn't it like something
how,
where you had to like call a number or like text people or something?
Something like that, yeah. Some ARG thing where you learned out that Magus went to Mars to fight a different incarnation of Ozzy, who was a space pirate or something.
Sounds about right.
Yep.
Cool. That sounds really cool. I'm very excited to check that out because it's just sitting there on my Vita waiting for me.
Well, you know what else is sitting on your Vita waiting for you? Rayman
What's that?
Origins.
Oh, you noticed?
Yes.
Or did you?
I
did you see that
bit,
I
actually.
Downloaded it, or well, did you? Did you?
I thought you and Jamie were talking about how much you liked it last week, right?
Jamie was talking about how much he liked it. I was talking about how I just think that Rayman is way too floaty, and yeah. I was like, "Hey, it's free on PS Plus, and I'll give it another shot." And Rayman is still too floaty.
I agree.
Nothing's changed.
Yep.
It just doesn't. It looks great. It looks really beautiful and all, but it's just not that fun to play. And I was like, "There's so many platformers that feel better than this game."
Right. I love the music.
oh, me too.
The art is very reminiscent of like 90s gross out Ren and Stimpy stuff, which I really think is cool.
Yeah.
But I don't like playing it because he needs a double jump or something to help balance that weird awkwardness of it out.
I know. It's so sad too because I really want to share and enjoying it with everyone, but I just can't. I keep trying and it's just not taking. So it's disappointing, but I mean, I didn't lose any money. Well, I did buy it already once, but I didn't lose any money downloading the Vita version, so no love lost there, but
yeah,
I don't know.
How's Spelunky going? Still doing that stuff?
Still doing it. Still playing it every day.
That's
still
good.
Playing it on my Vita rather than on the PC. I'm not really doing the daily challenges anymore. It's just like a ritual. It's like my new Animal Crossing, basically.
I gotcha. Yeah. I still do Clash of Clans.
What's that?
I still collect my crap in Clash of Clans.
What's Clash of Clans?
It's like the most sellingest game on the iPhone.
Oh, is this thing with the cards?
No, it's not cards. It's
okay.
It's like a Farmville like resource management wait and build shit. But it has the fun part of it, like you can attack other people's areas and kill them.
I had a look at, speaking of mobile games, I had a look at the latest Humble mobile bundle today, and there's some good-looking games on there, but I just looked at it, and I just got a little sad, because I was thinking to myself, the handheld games I used to play are no more.
What was on there? What was the handheld mobile bundle?
A number of games, you might have heard of some of them. Star Command, have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that was the one we were trying to reference a long time ago, where that's the Kickstarter project that didn't end up having all the functionality built into it, where it's kind of like FTL meets Star Trek.
Oh, yeah.
Son of a bitch. Jeff.
Right now.
Oh, you're still there.
Yep.
Thank God. No!
Yes, I'm still there.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, sorry. I don't want to scare you. Okay, so
Dark
Command, that's kind of cool, I guess.
Okay.
Time Surfer.
Uh-huh.
What is going on, Griff?
I don't know if there's lag or if you're just being quiet.
I'm not. I'm not being quiet.
All right. It must be lag here.
Yep. Punch Quest, which is supposed to be a great game.
Uh-huh.
Bloons TD5. Raven Sword Shadowlands, Carmageddon.
Armageddon it on.
I don't know. I just am sad about mobile games right now. That's all. I lament the fact that people are going to be growing up with these kinds of games, and this is the kind of game that is going to probably represent the future.
Sure.
Because I don't like them as much as other games.
But do you ever
yourself
looking back at mobile games now as, you know, an adult who lives in this current generation? You look back on mobile games, like the handheld games of like 1990X, and you're like, fuck, man, those are weird. Like, way weird.
I guess. I have serious nostalgia. I sometimes I replay Final Fantasy Legend on an emulator just because I'm a weirdo.
Well, yeah, that's really weird, right? Final Fantasy Legend. But
even
I mean,
though that game is...
No, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, you please.
I was going to say, even though that game is broken in a lot of ways, it's like super glitchy and buggy.
Well, you're a Saga junkie. You're a Saga lover.
Yeah.
A Saga
what were you getting at, though? Like your playthrough of 6 Golden Coins?
No, what I was just going to say was a lot of the mobile games, if that's such a weird term even to apply to that, a lot of the handheld console games, like just feel like console games now, but they don't look as good or they're not as well polished. And there's still that same sort of like scope and size and attention to detail as you would have in a full on real console game. But it's like mobilized, where it's just kind of like turned into like a little like half person, like a little half.
Oh God, you're.
I can't leave. I can't leave you because you're on Wi-Fi. You're not on Wi-Fi.
Yeah, your voice just turned into like an accordion getting slowly stretched out.
It's like a robot fucking an accordion.
Yes, exactly. It just happened again as you said that. Yeah, no, you're right. I think part of that is probably because in Japan, handhelds are selling better than consoles.
Yeah.
And a lot of handheld games these days are Japanese, and they're just replicating console experiences on handhelds.
Yeah.
That's my thinking on that.
Yes.
I think that handheld games used to be like uniquely handheld.
Really? Because I think the opposite.
Would you agree with that?
No, I disagree. I think handheld games used to be just weird truncated versions of full games, and now things are way more handheld-y because of Wario smooth moves or Wario, like the micro mini games.
Interesting. I don't know. I guess that's true. I guess that when you look at it that way, yeah. I think of like Pokemon and stuff. Like, there's no reason that it has to be a handheld game. I don't know why I identify that so much with the mobile space, other than the fact that all the entries have been on handhelds. Mm-hmm. But that's the kind of things I think of when I think of a handheld. Like, I think of your you know, pocket RPGs. I guess those, I don't know.
Wouldn't you say that, like, Pokemon also has a certain lack of polish to it that is, you know, inherent to mobile games of 1990, whatever? Like, it is clunky and it is ill-designed, but it also is super charming. Robot? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that, yeah, you're a super robot. I guess that you are right to some degree. I don't know how I can articulate this, because handheld games are so special to me. Something about them it felt unique. I don't know how else to describe it. Certain games felt like they were just perfect for the handheld space. Like, There was a period of time where I could only play games on handhelds. Like, I couldn't play console games because of what they were. Maybe it's the fact that you could play them in shorter chunks. I don't know what it was exactly. But I don't know. I'll have to think about that. But I guess, I mean, it does seem like WarioWare, that type of game, started the trend towards, you know, iPhone-style game design.
Yeah, bite-sized gaming.
It oftentimes just feels so insubstantial, and it's a very different market because everything is quick. You know, you'll get five entries of a game in like 2 years. It's like, what? How did that happen? You know what I mean?
Are you talking handheld or console?
Handheld.
Okay.
That's a good point. It's just a strange, like, why is there Bloons 5, you know, in the Humble Bundle? Like, how are there four other Bloons already?
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
Marvel versus Capcom 3.
Yeah, but that took them like 15 years.
But then they released the second one, Ultimate Marvel versus Capcom 3, 8 months later.
Yeah.
I don't know. I
guess I'm just being a Luddite, really, when you get down to it. I'm just nervous about the future. I'm nervous that they're not going to make the kinds of games that I like anymore.
I agree with you, though. You know. Like, no, I look back on that situation, I'm like, man, you know, handheld games were fucking weird years ago, but I like them. Like, I harbor that nostalgia for those experiences. But I also look at them like, dude, like, this is strange. And when people say, you know, like, yeah, mobile games are dead or handheld games are dead because they're just mobile games now. Like, yeah, it's easy to see that. And it bums me out. But it's just like, yeah, Pokemon is a game I play in my hands, not on a TV. Like, that just makes sense. And I know there's no good reason for it, except for that's just the way it was. So I'm right there with you. And I can't explain it, but...
I can't explain it at all. Like, why do I want... You know, why is Fire Emblem so perfect for a handheld? but not anywhere else. And like Fire Emblem is so much better than, you know, most games of that vein on the iPhone. That's one thing that you can definitely say. I'm going to miss handheld games having like budgets, you know, like actual development time and like large amounts of money that can be spent on them.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to be like that in the future. It's going to be, hey, let's make this thing, you know, relatively quick.
Yeah. Well, so that's, you know, there's no certainty in that. I mean, right now,
of course,
you can even say that Fire Emblem should have never been made. And it still was, and it was hugely successful. And everybody's looking for that Pokemon banger that's going to blow it out of the water and be that thing that is a system seller. So they're going to keep pushing handhelds. Like, everybody's looking for the next Monster Hunter. And, you know, they're going to keep doing that shit.
Yeah.
Even
at least
if
in Japan,
they will. Right, yeah. And
yeah.
That's good for
the
us.
US, it's kind of dying out, yeah.
Sure.
No, you're right. You're right. I'm just, you know, it's just the usual... The usual fear of the new for
yeah,
me.
Yeah. Your bomb shelter, Jeff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really enjoying playing shit on my Vita, though. I'm having such a great time with that thing. Yeah. Just yesterday, I picked up... they finally released Lone Survivor, the Vita. And I picked it up, and it looks so beautiful on the Vita. It's so crisp, and oh, it's so pretty. I love that game. Are you considering buying it, or are you not going to grab it?
No, I watched the video of it, and it looks interesting. Like, 8-bit pixel art style survival game that isn't reliant on combat. It's kind of the gist that I got from it. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, well, there is... So you can... There are enemies, which you can kill. So you can kill people. You can fight them. You can also stealth pass them usually. But yeah, it's you know, exploration. Occasionally there's monsters. Usually you're incentivized to not fight them.
Yeah.
You have some light survival elements. Kind of a weird Silent Hill-esque plot. Really awesome music. You know, just a really cool ambiance. I just think it's a great game. I really had a wonderful time with it, and like, for whatever reason, it just really resonated with me. So I'm just kind of trying to push it on everyone.
I would, but...
but I can understand you not wanting it around $13.
Well, I mean, right now my time is kind of spent with VLR, and...
yeah.
If I am going to buy something new for the Vita, I'm probably going to put that money away for the next big indie game, like Rogue Legacy.
Mm-hmm. When is that coming out, I wonder? Hopefully soon.
Yeah, probably with... Well, it's going to be PS4 time, because it's coming out on both.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, so, I'm excited for the next Binding of Isaac game.
Less than 2 months, or a, right?
Till the PS4?
Yeah.
Yes, your voice just keeps robot accordioning so bad.
Okay, I'm going to take a pause here, Jeff. Let's take a little pause. I'll fiddle with the internet again and see if we can correct this issue.
Okay.
Okay, sorry. I don't know what we were talking about, but...
Again.
Animal Crossing and handheld games and being old and hating things.
Yeah, we're old. Old by video game terms.
Yep. Just
we can talk about.
I'm just gonna crawl through this microwave hallway of current generation games and mash the X button, then get into a fighting game and feel really confused.
I'm pretty sure that you mashed the triangle button.
Oh,
monster!
Sure. Oh, goddamn.
Yeah. So we were talking about something.
Well, I think that we can talk a little bit about Japanese stuff now, right? Because the end of TGS happened and some Metal Gear things came out.
Sure, yeah. So let's talk TGS. A bunch of stuff happened there. I wrote down a few things. First of all, there's going to be another Gravity Rush, which just makes me unbelievably happy.
Yay. Gravity Knights.
Knights?
Yeah, I think that's what the tentative title was, right? Gravity Knights.
Oh, I get it. You're funny, man.
No, right. Like, that's... I thought I... K-N-I-G-H-T-S. Oh. I thought that's what that was getting thrown around.
Ah, oh, that's so clever, because the first one was Days. Days and Nights.
Right?
Clever bastards. Could be. I hadn't heard a title, but they did show a video. It makes it look like... I'm a little perturbed about the video because it makes it look like she'll have, it'll be more like just like Crackdown style platforming. Like, you know, you can jump really high. It's not really what Gravity Rush is about, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
That looks freaking awesome. They had another bunch of other stuff. Like they announced Monster Hunter Frontier G, which is their online game.
Yeah, poop. Who gives a fuck?
La Mulana 2 was announced, which made me wet my pants. Like, I know that first game was hard as balls. Did you play it at all?
Nope.
Okay. It's a great game. It is Metroidvania with Fez-style puzzling.
Great.
Like super hard, and also like Dark Souls level of difficulty.
Huh.
The big things they were showing, they showed a lot of Deep Down. Did you watch any demo footage of that?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, the demo was, it looked pretty cool. You were like a knight running around kind of really slowly, and you had a sweet looking spear, and there was this old lady who kept saying things like, "I don't remember who I am anymore. Can you help me?" And then you were stabbing orc pigs while that was happening, and some crazy music was playing, and it looked awesome.
And then you were in like a posh IKEA designed apartment with like a walled computer.
I didn't see that part of it. Was that, did they show that?
There was a trailer, but maybe that was before, like at the beginning of TGS, where it's like, yeah, it's like Assassin's Creed-ish now, where you're living in both worlds.
I'm cool with that. The one thing I'm not cool with is they announced that it's going to be free to play.
Yeah, wait.
Which makes me so sad. Because I just do not trust Capcom at all to offer good value. And I feel like I'm nervous that a lot of developers are going to do this next gen.
Because
you already had Destiny is free to play, and what else is free to play? Isn't there some I know Crysis is going to be making exclusively free to, or not Crysis, Crytek is going to be making exclusively free to play games going forward, they said. I'm just nervous about this free to play model,
right?
And I'm very sad about it happening with Deep Down, because that game looked so cool before.
Yep,
but I don't know. They showed a lot of Metal Gear Solid 5. Did you watch that at all?
Yeah, I did. Yep, Ground Zeroes.
Yeah, they kept calling it. They were like, "Oh, it's the Phantom Pain," and then they just showed what was ostensibly all Ground Zeroes footage. I thought they were separate games. But what did you think of that? How did you think it looked?
I think it looks great. But I everything that they showed for like Ground Zero stuff, where it's like, oh, it's open world, sneaky, like. Anytime they would then show like Phantom Pain-ish stuff, or thinking back to the Phantom Pain trailers where it's like you're hobbling around the hospital and you have no body parts, like that part, I just keep coming back to that and saying like, oh, that seems like a much more interesting experience than than the other thing.
That's a good point, yeah. But you thought the actual gameplay looked fun? Like, I know a lot of people were getting all in a tizzy in the forums because like, oh, you know, you can, time slows down when the enemy alerts, and you can kill them if you're fast enough. People were really mad about
that. Yeah, I like that part. That's great.
Yeah, I think it looked pretty awesome to me, but people were furious.
Right.
Metal Gear's ruined.
The only thing that is like the, you know, it's not the same anymore, that really stuck with me is it's such a bummer that it's not David Hayter. Like, watching the English videos is such a bummer that it's like, oh my god, Jack Bauer Snake is not the same as real Snake.
People were getting so upset because the way he, you know, they kept you waiting.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear him say that? He's like, kept you waiting, huh? It was like the whole thing was just completely butchered.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, but Kiefer Sutherland, you're great at what you do, but you are not a voice actor.
Yep, he really isn't. No. I don't know, people are convinced that that's like some elaborate Kojima troll. Like, people, it's like the Team CG people from NeoGAF rose from the ashes in order to be on Team David Hayter's coming back. I don't think that is ever happening. But it is.
I would pay double the price for a Hayter edition.
A Hayter edition. Don't be hating.
I will be. I'm hating for. For some Hayter, I'm drinking the Haterade. I want my Snake back.
Well, Kojima is known for having plenty of haters. Except you won't be having David in this game.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa. Can we just make Metal Gear Solid puns?
Go for it.
Snake will be the butt of jokes with his sweet ass.
I feel like I'm living in a time paradox.
I got nothing else.
Bitch! Bitch! Bitch!
Yeah, so that looked pretty awesome. I'm still super pumped for that. And then there was just literally nothing else on consoles.
Yep.
At TGS. Just like it was a barren wasteland. Probably some Tales games or something.
Right.
For last gen hardware, but God, Japan is not making much for the PS4.
Nope, sure isn't. But what reason do they have to? Because they're not getting it till next year.
Yeah, and then the Wii U is like, dare not speak its name.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that thing was featured even once in like the entire event.
Yep.
So I don't know. It's an interesting state of affairs. There's definitely, I feel like the segregation between like Japanese development and U.S. development is in some ways like greater than ever. Because like Japan is like all handheld. I mean, and like mobile games, like Gree style mobile games.
Right.
I don't know. There wasn't really much. I mean, TGS didn't really have much going on other than, you know, a peppering of announcements, but nothing really earth shattering. No huge new IPs or anything.
Right. Last Guardian, there was an interview with Sony reps and I forget who did it, but they asked like, so what's going on with that Last Guardian stuff? And yet again, the interviewee said, yeah, the team's still going. Was it Fumito Ueda? Is that right?
Yep. Like Fumito or something. Yeah.
Yeah. It's they're still working hard on that project. They've still got things, irons in the fire.
He's like locked in a basement somewhere. Jack Trenton comes in and just brutally tortures him.
Jack
demands
Trenton,
that he work on the game.
Jack Bauer?
Oh. Like Kiefer Sutherland was brought in.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's going on with that. Are they going to put it on PS4? It seems like they pretty much ought to at this point. Who knows?
Who knows? Because no matter what it is, it's not going to be good. Like, you cannot have this much anticipation and deliver on it.
I suppose that's true. I mean, like, wasn't L.A. Noire, like, in huge, like, lengthy development hell? And that was a pretty awesome game.
Yeah.
It's possible.
Yeah.
For games to come out of development hell and measure up to the hype, more or less.
But I don't even think that game measured up to the hype that it had going for it.
I suppose so. I didn't participate in the hype, so I was able to enjoy that game in its own merits. But yeah, I suppose any time that you have something cooking for that long, it's like Half-Life 3. It's never gonna.
Right. Or Duke Nukem Forever. If you want to go to the other side of the spectrum.
Duke Nukem Forever exceeded all expectations. It exceeded all expectations by releasing.
Yeah.
Once it cleared that bar, that was as high as I expected it to go. So was there anything else going on in the worlds out there?
Well, besides just the Steam stuff and TGS. Oh, well, there's always Pokemon news. We can always talk about Pokemon news.
Yeah, did you see that two-sworded thing? Dublade?
What?
It's called Dublade. You remember the one sword?
The ghost blade?
The ghost sword, yeah. Hone Edge.
Yeah.
Now it turns into Dublade, and it's two swords.
It's called Dublade?
Yeah, like double blade.
It's so good.
And people are mad because they're like, oh, it's Magneton all over again. Because it just turns into two of them.
That's great. I love it. Fine. Yeah. Whatever. I've been reading the gaff threads, the Pokebombs that have been leaking out, and
I love the Pokebombs.
Yeah, like
the Pokebombs are so exciting. I feel like the hype for this game is like, I don't know. It's like intense. People are really excited about all those new Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, I think for the first time they're really breaking the mold, even if it's the slightest degree of change.
I think it's cool that they're representing a lot of unseen type combinations. Like, yeah. I feel like a lot of times in the past they would just waste a lot of Pokemon, and it seems like they're not doing that as much this time.
Yes,
they seem even more aware of the history of the franchise.
Yep.
And like willing to include that and build on it, rather than just being like, oh, hey, have we done a bird before? Yeah, but we're giving it another.
The thing that I found the most interesting was the leak that came out are potential leak, like rumors that have very, very good credence to them. And one of which was about the experience share. So you got that item that you equip on your Pokemon, and then all your other Pokemons get experience. Classic item, right? So the rumor was, with the new game, you equip that item and your Pokemon who's in the lead still gets 100%, and then every other Pokemon in your party gets 50%.
Yeah, that's great. I just read that before coming on here.
Yeah, and it correlates 100% to like the GTA discussion we were having before, where it's like, I'm just too old for this shit. Like, yeah. People online are complaining, like, oh, they're making Pokemon even easier now. It's like, no, it's not easier. It's just, you don't have to fucking grind if you want to evolve your dudes, yeah, or find some weird glitch to get a million rare candies or whatever. Like,
that was one of the best things about the fifth game, or the fifth generation. They increased the amount of experience that everything gave you, like, mm-hmm, across the board. Mm-hmm. And they had those the shaking patches of grass that could give you like triple experience.
Yeah,
so everything just leveled up really quick.
Or the other little rumor thing that was in there was, now when you capture a Pokemon, you still get experience from the battle, which makes so much sense.
Yes, that is really nice. I'm really excited about it. I'm just excited about the fact that they are inching ever closer to making the game like convenient. Yeah. I'm glad that I want them to show me the EVs, give me that super train in with some Wailords or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah,
freaking Geodudes or whatever. That's awesome. I'm totally down for not having to spend a million years, because especially if like you can't use like an action replay to just make the powerful Pokemon, which, yeah, is what people used to do. Like, make it easy. Make it so that, you know, you can have people play against each other still.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm happy about that.
Me too. And all the tizzy that the internet's getting into, where it's like, oh, I guess it's actually not 3D. It's only 3D in the battles or whatever, or in towns.
Yeah, who cares?
Who fucking cares? Like, really?
I don't care.
Yeah.
Interestingly, remember how I was complaining a couple episodes ago about how I felt like the new games were going to be like so unbelievably unbalanced, almost as if to respond to me, the head of the series, his name is Junichi Masuda, he made a statement. He's like, okay, guys, this is the most balanced Pokemon game ever. We don't even need to patch it.
He was
like, listen, we got it right.
Hey, Jeff, it's cool.
So I'm happy that they at least feel they balanced it. I highly doubt they did, but I'm happy that they at least tried to balance it.
Going along with that balance rumor, or that balance quote, was the rumor that the mega evolutions, they wanted to make like every Pokemon feel like a legendary Pokemon if you chose to do that. So that's why you can only have one mega stone, and like you can only have one of them. So in your party, you will only have one mega evolution possible.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it could be your pinch.
Yeah, and what's also really cool is like you don't necessarily need to mega evolve it right when it gets launched out. Like, you can choose to do
it. You can feint it. Like, yeah, but that's an feint.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
And it's just a regular dude, and then later on be like, oh, fuck you, I mega evolved it.
Right, that becomes like your Dragon Ball Z style, like 15 episodes of like struggle.
Can they finally put the fusion dance in that game already?
Spirit Bomb.
that is really cool, and I'm glad actually that they put that limit on there. I think that's really, I don't know if it actually is true, but if it is, that's a good solution.
Yeah.
So that'd be really neat.
Yep, and the quote unquote rumored, you know, final types for the starters sound really fun too. Like, at least they're shaking it up a bit. So
yeah, that's like water, fighting, grass, yep, dark, and fire psychic.
Yes.
Yeah. Grass dark has been done before, actually, believe it or not.
Right. But the other supposed rumor is it might be grass steel.
Well, that's been done too.
But that,
come on, Griffin.
What was the grass steel?
Ferrothorn.
Well, okay. Well, my bad.
God. How do you not know all 649 Pokemon?
Is there a combination that doesn't exist? Is there like a water fire?
There's no water fire.
Okay.
Yeah, there are plenty of combinations that don't exist, and there are plenty of combinations that are unbelievably overrepresented. Okay. There are like double the amount of water Pokemon as there are every other kind of
yeah.
Pokemon.
Are you telling me that poison bug Pokemon is not overrepresented?
There are so many poison bugs. Oh my god. I wish they would stop it. They need to stop it with like the friggin' what are the ones that they're the worst? Like flying with everything that mm-hmm. gives it like a quad electric weakness.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like they're finally acknowledging that a lot of type combinations are completely overplayed. And like I said, giving you interesting choices. So I'm happy about that.
Yep.
Like Ghost Steel is pretty rad.
Oh yeah. But there's supposed to be new balances, you know, happening to all Pokemon types, like, you know, and multi-faceted moves that will contain both like multi types to a single move.
Yeah, that'd be pretty crazy if they did that. That'd be really hard to balance it.
Well,
I had read
the really clever thing somebody said about that was it's like maybe it's not one move is both fire and ice, but depending on the situation, the move will be fire or ice.
Well, interestingly, there are a couple moves that are like that actually, but. Interestingly, I read a rumor that that recently was put out. It seems relatively convincing. It's making the rounds on all the various Pokemon websites. And it insinuated there was a move that was like a fire-type move, but specifically part of the move description was that it was super effective against water types. So that could be a way for them to like to have multi-type moves without having to give them two types. You know
yeah.
I mean? So that might be how they tackle that.
That would be cool.
I'm pretty excited for it. I think what makes this generation so much fun is that like Twitter and all that shit has just proliferated unbelievably since the last generation.
Yes.
So there's just like so many leaks and as you know, Neogaf Pokebombs and everything else. So it's just fun to be part of that. Like I'm looking at a something that was just tweeted of like a cute looking skunk thing that might be real and it's adorable. Yeah, so that's awesome. Something else that I actually just saw, speaking of tweets, there is a teaser for the upcoming Last of Us DLC, and I think it is heavily insinuated that it is going to be set at or around the time of the outbreak, which is awesome. I'm super excited
about
that. So
your World War Z gameplay?
I hope not. I hope it'll be like, you know, you're just people running away altogether.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Oh, I'm sorry. For some reason, I thought you were saying... like Daisy or something. But no, yeah, War Z. Yeah, that'd be awesome. I'm super excited for that. So that's coming soon. They're going to announce that, I think, this week.
Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about? Forza, I see you have mentioned here.
Yeah, just that this is something I've read about with something else that was on Xbox as well. I can't remember what. But some guy at TGS, some Japanese writer who had previously like been utterly effusive in his praise of the graphics and gameplay of Forza was still effusive in his praise of the gameplay, but said that the graphics had been significantly downgraded. So I just predict that bullshots and like deceptive videos are just going to be a zillion times worse this generation. But we'll see.
Yeah.
Because the expectations have already been set astronomically high by the fake videos of the previous generation.
Yep. So. Yeah, Killzone
2. It remains to be seen. Exactly, yeah. It remains to be seen like how good these things actually will be until we get them in our hands. I have a suspicion that it's not really gonna knock our socks off. We'll see.
Well, I think, it's gonna take that time to get it ramped up and people, you know, getting a hold of that stuff, so.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll have to see there.
Yeah.
AMD just announced new graphics cards.
Yeah. I
made some comments about consoles.
Really? I think that might be something to save for when Jamie's back here, because you guys will know more about that than I will.
Yeah, basically it's just a lot of talk about ease of porting from consoles to PC and like realizing benefits in console graphics. So that'll be interesting, because you know they have the cards in both.
Yeah,
that's pretty much it on my end.
Yeah, same here. There was some Star Wars 1313. Leaked concept art and concept design stuff that came out through IGN, and it sounded freaking awesome. for anybody who likes Boba Fett or Star Wars. So that's a shame that's gone.
Wasn't it like maybe not entirely gone?
What's that?
Wasn't there some rumor that it, or like a statement from someone over at LucasArts or Disney that maybe it wasn't entirely canceled?
I think when the studios were shut down, it was like, yeah, you know, maybe if somebody wants to do something with this, maybe they can. We're like, we're not ruling it out 100%, but, you know, the whole team was laid off and all design work ended with that. And it was like, yeah, I guess if somebody wants to pick up the pieces, they probably can. But, you know, obviously if the original vision has been thrown out, you know.
That sucks.
Will they actually do? Like, they can pick up the pieces and make the design or and follow the design doc, but will it still have that same inspiration? Probably not. An Arkham Asylum game where you're playing as Boba Fett that's slowly upgrading his armor to become the Boba Fett everybody knows and loves sounds like a very cool game.
Yeah, I would probably like that better than Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
Hey, there was also a Lightning Returns announcement. There's going to be a bunny girl in there.
A what? A bunny girl?
Lightning can dress up as a bunny girl. I'm looking at pictures of it right now.
Yeah. They showed off the full opening cutscene thing.
Oh my God. Did you watch it?
Oh, it's heinous.
It's the worst. It is literally the worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I'm pretty excited for this game. Why are they talking about angels of death and demons? And then there's the girl that looks like Sarah, but she's named Lumina.
And then
she's like even more of a 12-year-old.
Right. And fucking Troy Baker walks into the demon world.
Why is he like the head of like a weird ass nightclub?
Yeah. Evil devil nightclub. And he freezes the statue in the shape of what's probably going to be their cover art. And
I just can't do it.
Yep. I'm done, man.
You chose a good time to get out.
Yeah. This tattoo says fuck that shit.
I'm excited ish for 15 because when I watched the trailer, I was like, oh hey, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. They're protecting the crystal and these guys want it.
Right. I have hope for 15.
Even though Tetsuya Nomura is not known for his intelligible stories.
Yeah, yep.
We'll have to see.
But, you know, hopefully, well, yeah. Hopefully something good happens. You know, I still have the Sonic syndrome of hopefully this thing will be good. But at least I have the wherewithal to say, no, this shit's garbage right now.
Speaking of Sonic, they were showing off a lot of Lost World footage. Did you watch any?
No.
Okay. Have you seen any of it at all?
Yeah. It honestly looked kind of good.
Yeah, I know. It's happening again.
Right. It's like Mario Galaxy, but Sonic. So that sounds cool, right?
Yeah, it looks pretty neat. I'm approaching it with cautious optimism. It's Wii U exclusive, though, which is kind of odd. But yeah, it works for me.
Well, speaking of Wii U exclusive, Jeff, do you want to round it all off with a little bit more wonderful 101 discussion? Or you think you said everything you need to say?
I think, you know, not too much else to say about Wonderful 101, except it is, as you might expect, it is a little awkward to control, but it's super fun and just goofy and off the wall. I feel like we should close out the podcast with the hilarious quote from Notch.
Yes.
Which is that Valve is saving the entire gaming world. Just drop the mic.
Did he say that in English or is that a bad translation from Bork, Bork, Bork?
His native language of Bork.
Yeah.
No, that's English.
Huh.
So there's that. Funny man.
Well, yeah, also saving the entire gaming world is this podcast, Boss Bell Radio, starring Jeff Brewer and Griffin Hoffman. So, yeah. 13 days. We'll save
13 days until the 13th month. 13 returns.
The 13th end of time.
I can't do it.
Me too.
All right.
Yeah. So let's end it here. Thanks again for another great episode.
Yep.
And we'll see you next
Hopefully
week.
Internet will work all its woes out next time. And
yeah.
Have smooth sailing.
Hopefully things will happen too.
Most likely.
Yeah. Look forward to that third circle.
It's gonna be team cats just everywhere.
Steamy cats. All right.
All right, dude.
See ya.
Bye.